Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 361 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever this week. And on the way, we'll be having a chat with the new mayor of Wolverhampton, Barry Findlay, all about his time ahead of him in office and some of the exciting events he has to come, as well as hearing about his mayoral charities for the year. And we'll be having a chat with Scott Bird over at the Grand Theatre to find out about the naming of the suites and the booths as part of the refit. You can vote on what you think they should be called. We'll let you know about that on the show today. We'll have music from Jamie Porter. He'll be bringing us some of his songs and having a natter with him too. We'll be finding out about the 1448 Festival, which takes place at the Arena Theatre on the 10th and 11th of June. But first of all, Monday the 6th of June sees the return of the Hilarity Charity Gala. To tell us more about it, from Pappies, Tom, hello.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
I'm good. You all right?
Yeah, really good, really good. Yeah, very excited about this one.
Yeah, because you're busy coordinating all of this. We've had a chat with Matilda about the Central Youth Theatre and why it's all happening, but it's the how, the where and the getting people to the when that's a difficult bit for you.
Absolutely. Well, every year we just try and put on the best comedy lineup Wolverhampton will see all year, and I think we've always succeeded in that, and I think this year will be no exception. 6th of June, we'll have a brilliant lineup of comedians, and it's all for a great cause.
Yep. And what's your involvement with Central Youth? Is this something that you've come through the ranks of, or has it got you interested?
Yeah, very much so. I joined Central Youth when I was about 15, left when I was about 20, and haven't really looked back, to be honest. They were the guys that put me on track and trained me and got me into comedy and performing, and I owe them everything, really. They're a great charity, great establishment, and they just do so much for the kids of Wolverhampton, so long may that continue, really.
Yeah, because even if they don't go off and get a career working for BBC Three, as you and the guys have pretty much these days, it's about building confidence, and that's priceless, isn't it, really?
Absolutely, that's it. It's about making friends, building confidence, learning skills that, like a lot of the people I'm into the youth theatre with now, you know, have gone on to be like journalists or teachers or policemen, and we still all say that, you know, it was the making of us. I think the confidence that it gave them and like the experience that we had. We did a lot of travelling, you know, and the youth theatre keeps on going to festivals in Europe, and that's always the case. So, you know, for me, to be a kid who grew up in 4 days and then suddenly find yourself, you know, in Hungary and, Slovakia and places like that, making friends, it really did broaden all of our horizons, really. And the youth theatre still does that, you know, to this day. So it's just making sure that they can keep on doing that, because I think it does change people's lives.
So let's cut to the chase then. What's the lineup looking like as we speak?
Oh, it's looking fantastic. We've got Daniel Kitson returning as Compere, who I know people use a lot of hyperbole, but he is genuinely one of the best comedians working in the world today. He doesn't do stuff on telly, he only does stuff live. So he's one of those guys who flies under the radar of the big shows. But if you ask any comedian who the best comedian is in the Britain today, they'll say Daniel Kitson. So it's a real, real treat to get him. He's very much going to be hosting the night, and then we've got a really nice mixture of like some up and coming stars who are going to be huge in a couple of years. Guys like Spencer Jones, who's he's on Upstart Crow, that new Ben Elton sitcom. He's the guy who plays the Ricky Gervais style character, and he's very much a star of the future. A guy called Ivo Graham, who's doing the panel shows on BBC Three at the moment. He's brilliant. And then Nish Kumar, who's already done Have I Got News For You, and he's going to be a big star. And then Joe Lycett, who obviously already is a star, and the Birmingham lad, he's coming across.
He's been allowed out of Birmingham to Wolverhampton. I like it.
Absolutely, he's making the long jaunt. But Joe Lycett, who he's an absolute star. So it's going to be a cracking lineup. And Pappies will be there as usual with our nonsense. it's going to be a fun night. I think there'll probably be a couple more names still to come as well. So yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
It's all about having a fun night, and it's just going to be a really full night of comedy. Last year, I know, completely sold out. This year is well on its way as well.
Yes, absolutely. Tickets still available at the Grand. But there's nowhere else in the Midlands, I'd say at least, where you're going to find a lineup where, you know, we are talking about these people will all headline comedy clubs up and down the country every night of the week, and they're all together on the same lineup for a good cause. So if you're a fan of comedy, then I can pretty much guarantee you a great night. And it sold out last year, and we're well on our way now. So tickets on sale at the Grand. Come on down.
Grandtheatre.co.uk is the website. 01902 429212, the box office number. Tickets are priced at £17.50 through £22.50. 7:30 is curtain up. Make sure you get yourself down there. Have something pleasant from the bar before you head through and have a brilliant night of comedy.
Absolutely.
Tom, good talking to you. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to
Lovely.
More work from you and the
Pappies. Mate.
Whilst you're on, what have the Pappies got coming up at the moment?
We're podcasting. We release two podcasts a month. We've just started a residency at the Soho Theatre down in London. So if you catch us live at the moment, you have to travel down to London for the day. But otherwise, we are releasing podcasts on the 1st and the 15th of every month.
So look out for that one. Just search for Pappies in iTunes or your podcast provider of choice and hear what the boys are up to. Good to catch up with you, and I hope to speak to you soon.
Lovely to speak to you, mate. I'll speak to you later.
In a moment or two, we'll have a chat with Jamie Porter. First of all, let's hear his brand new single. This is Sound of the Summer. Jamie Porter with Sound of the Summer, and he joins us on the phone now to tell us more about the music. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, very well, thanks.
Good stuff. So you've been rather a busy boy, not only over the last few months bringing all of this to fruition, but for you, the music's been sort of flowing from you for a good few years now.
Yes, that's right, yes. I've played in numerous bands over the years and various roles, and just decided a couple of years ago that it was time I tried to write my own material and create my own identity, you know, and I've listened to loads of styles of music and guitar bass mainly over the years, and just sort of go with the flow and write as it comes out.
And when it comes to the sort of ideas that are coming into these songs, where are you starting out from that point of view? Are there lots of little seeds sitting in your mind waiting to grow into full-sized tunes?
Sometimes it does vary. I mean, the other day I was practicing or just preparing before I went out to a gig, and I played a riff, and then I love the wonders of the mobile phone, because I just suddenly it morphs into a song within 20 minutes, And I record it on my phone. I think, right, I'll come back to that later. And so it can be something like that, where it comes pretty quick, or I will have maybe get a hook, a chorus, or a riff separately, and I have lots of little bits that I'll go back and work on another time and develop into a song. But it does vary the way they come together.
But when it comes to your influences, though, from everyone from Bruce Springsteen through Bryan Adams, Aerosmith, The Black Crowes, Thunder, you've got a very sort of rock and acceptable face of rock, that catalogue you're listening to and that's driving your music. And do you think that comes across in all of your songs, or is there some other bits which you can't really put your finger on where on earth it came from, but you know you love it anyway?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I think a lot of people, some people said to me, oh, the song sounds so familiar when I've been gigging and like that. And I've always liked big choruses. And you know when you're standing in the crowd and that singer gets you going and singing along, and everybody's, that to me is having bits like that in the song that your audience can join in with when you're playing live. As regards all the influence, yeah, there's bits of country music. I grew up listening to Johnny Cash. My uncle's a big Johnny Cash fan, and I like that. I'm a big fan of sort of 12-bar rock and roll, shuffle, Chuck Berry-style stuff and the various genres that have come through that. And then I went Gary Moore. I went through into sort of like heavy guitar rock for a while, Iron Maiden, the harmonies in that, and the various Jimi Hendrix, you know, there's just loads of little bits. But for a long time, I was sort of, you know, I suppose a lot of people do, like, is who do you want to sound like? Because, you know, you really love these bands. And in the end, I got to the point, right, that's it. I'm not going to think about it now. I'm just going to write what comes out. But in it, I can hear, oh, yeah, that track has a harmony guitar bit. And obviously, if you do harmony guitars, it's going to be comparison with Thin Lizzy or Iron Maiden, maybe the old Whitesnake sort of track as well. And then there's certain techniques that I'm using purely as layers to enhance the song and the music. But I can think, oh, I've heard that style in this sort of song by this band before. But it's not in sort of like what you call copying or anything. It's just the way that the styles develop. But I try to write really for the song, same with if I put a guitar solo in the song, it's more of a melodic one, if that makes sense to fit.
Yeah.
I spent a long time, you know, tweaking it. I don't just go in and go, right, there's a one take. I like for the it to be melodic and fit with. And if it doesn't need a guitar solo,
it doesn't get one. Your music sort of evolves, and as you're actually, not only from when you write the track, but from when you record it as well.
Yeah, definitely. And when we play live, it's slightly, I mean, not all of them, but some of them are slightly different again because, you know, I record the stuff and then the guys come along and play it. And then live, when we're having a bit of fun, you know, everybody is rocking out and, yeah, it's good fun.
Yep, and it's good fun that you are releasing, say, as that single, The Sound of the Summer. And that's, if you just search on iTunes now, you can find that in there and get it pre-ordered because it's out towards the end of the week. But you can also find your back catalogue on there. And there's a single from earlier on this year, Can't Stop Loving You, that we're going to take a listen to now. So tell us a bit about this one.
Brilliant. It was one of those songs that just sort of came together quite quickly, really. It feels like a 70s sort of style riff that was going on underneath it, and just basically a love song, but with a bit of heaviness in it, you know, a bit of crowded participation stuff. Again, no guitar solo. Oh, there's a sort of like a riff off in the middle, which is quite cool live. Me and Paul, the other guitarist, get an opportunity to play. You'll hear it in the middle of a song anyway, where we get to sort of like just riff out.
We'll take a listen to this. But Jamie, thank you for joining us. And if you want to find out more about your music, what is the website?
It's jamieportermusic.com, and all the other social media links are from that: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc.
Instagram, SoundCloud, the
lot. Oh yeah, you name it, I'm on it. But yeah, website's a good port of call, and Facebook as well, because always on there.
So Jamie Porter Music, JAMIEPORTER Music. I'm hoping you can spell music. And you can go along and find out more by signa.com on the end, or searching for that in all your social media outlets. Jamie, thanks for joining us, thanks for the music, and we look forward to hearing from more from you in the near future too.
No worries, take care, thanks for having me on. Well,
That's Can't Stop Loving You from Jamie Porter here on the Milk Bar. The Arena Theatre once more plays host to the 1448 Festival for 2016. Neil Redding looks after the theatre and is stalwart, I think, is probably the best description of his involvement within 1448, as you've been all over the world, including Leicester this year.
Yes, as far afield as Leicester.
And a little bit further to its home as well.
A little bit further, yes. I did go home to Seattle in January, which was a great experience. But yes, back in Wolverhampton in June.
So you're down there managing the arena, and that in itself has all the fun involved in any theatre, but you get to be so hands-on, it's unbelievable, don't you?
Well, I try. It keeps the days going quickly by, and it seems the only way to run it from my point of view. If you're lucky enough to work in the creative industries, then you might as well make the advantage of being creative whenever you can. So 1448 gives us a great opportunity to do that with sort of 60 to 80 people from across the region, which is a rare opportunity.
Because if you're new to this, it takes place on the 10th and the 11th of June. It is 14 plays in 48 hours, and the exciting part is none of them have been written yet. We don't even know what they're going to be about. So I'll let you take up the story from there.
No, and we won't know what they'll be about until the night before. On the 9th of June, we'll draw a theme, and our writers will go away overnight and write seven 10-minute plays about whatever the theme might be. And the people who arrive on the Thursday night, the participants get a chance to put a theme in the hat. I'd like to see seven plays about, and they can put whatever they like in the hat, and then that'll get drawn, the plays will get written, and then on the 10th, everyone meets at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and by 8 o'clock that evening, there will be seven world premiere plays on stage at the arena. They'll go on again at 10:30 in the evening, so for the night owls out there, there's a late show. And then again, we'll pick a theme on the Friday evening, and on the Saturday, we'll do it all again, seven plays. So by Saturday night at about midnight, we'll have created 14 world premiere plays in 48 hours, and we'll all have a well-deserved sleep.
I should think so too. It is very, very hard work. How you guys do it, I do not know. Apart from that, I came along and I was lucky enough to come along on the Friday morning last year and meet up with everyone. I'm hoping you let me into the building at the same time this year as well.
Oh, of course. Yes, it's early starts, late finishes, beer and coffee. Those are the secrets to 1448.
And it makes an absolutely brilliant whole 48 hours of amazing theatre. And I have to admit, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And you never know what it's going to be about. What if one of the plays isn't for you, that's fine, because there's another six coming along that are bound
exactly.
to have something for you in there.
Exactly, and we've got seven fantastic writers who are working with us on the festival this year, who come from really different backgrounds as well. So the likelihood is that there'll be some will have a political angle, some will be comedies, there'll be some serious playwriting as well, and hopefully on day two the writers often throw a curveball, so somebody you're expecting to write something really funny will write something really heartfelt and emotional, and we've got a really, really strong lineup of professional artists from across the region, people who are really experienced in making theatre but often not in making theatre in a short time frame, so we really push people to bring their creativity and to create some fantastic new work for the region.
In some ways, the sad thing is these plays potentially won't ever be seen again either. That's the weird part, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And the 1448 projects, you know, based in Seattle, who are running festivals in two cities in America and two cities in the UK, have created about 1,200 plays in the last 20 years. And of those 1,200, maybe 10 or 15 have gone on to have a life beyond. All the others are lost to the ages, which means there's only one chance to see these plays. Well, four chances. And if you want to buy tickets for all four shows, you'd be more than welcome. But yeah, these are a one-time deal, really, for those audiences. They get to see them, and they get to see them at their freshest. And they'll get to see all the hard work that people are putting. The energy around the theatre for those 2 days is fantastic, and the audiences get to benefit from that as well. It'd be great to see people. The tickets are on sale already, and they're starting to sell. So a great opportunity to see some of the best young talent in the region on the stage doing something that's freshly created for that audience.
Yeah, well worth it, having experienced last year's festival and going along to this year's, fingers crossed. It should just be an absolutely brilliant 48 hours. Make sure you get yourself down there. What's the web address if people want to get their tickets online?
As always, arena.wlv.ac.uk, or you can ring the box office on 01902 321 321.
And if people want to see what went on last year, you've still got all the video footage
the
and things online?
The documentary is still up there on the website, yeah, and we'll be sharing that through our social media pages over the next couple of weeks to get people excited about the festival. So keep an eye on the Arena Theatre Facebook and Twitter. And the 1448 Wolverhampton also have a Twitter and a Facebook app. 1448 Wolves. And so people will be able to find us there as well.
Well, it's truly the 1448 family. You'll be having many more come and join you and really get something magical out this festival. I'm looking forward to it already. Neil, I'll see you then, if not before, sir.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
Let's take some more music from Jamie Porter now. This time it's Touch the Sky. Touch the Sky from Jamie Porter here on the Mill Bar. And if you want more about the man and his music, jamieportermusic.com is where you can find him online. Well, as of last Wednesday's mayor-making ceremony, we have a brand new mayor in the city of Wolverhampton. He's Councillor Barry Findlay, and he joins me on the phone now. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to everybody.
Yeah, and welcome to being mayor. And what's it like being the first citizen of Wolverhampton?
It's a real honour to be the first citizen of Wolverhampton. And I've already been doing it for a very short time. I'm really enjoying the people I'm meeting. It is a fantastic privilege to be given this honour, and I'm looking forward to the year ahead.
Well, the 157th Mayor, Ian Brookfield, was telling us how it was the people that really made a difference, and you sort of go from representing your ward as the 158th Mayor. This is the face for the whole city, and it must be quite interesting having that sort of responsibility, but also all that comes with it, because you'll be at a large number of events wearing the mayoral chains of office and really doing your bit in what's a very important year with being the Queen's representative in the city as we head towards the big celebrations for her 90th birthday.
Absolutely. The mayoral role is pivotal in terms of how we portray the city of Wolverhampton. As a first citizen, I am actually, as you quite rightly say, an honoured to be the Queen's representative within the city. This year is a fantastic year. The Queen's celebrating her 90th birthday. We've already had the Queen's birthday in April. We had beacons being lit on Technol Upper Green, which is absolutely fantastic. And this year we are having a special service to celebrate Civic Sunday, which we're combining with the Queen's birthday. So that will be when it's the official birthday of the Queen. So as a city, we really are delighted to be able to do that. I've also had the opportunity already of going to a number of tea parties, which the community are organising. And that's a very important part of the mayor's role, is to actually be there with the people of the city, joining with them and supporting them. And what a great thing is that we can support Her Majesty as well.
Yep, and I'm sure, obviously, this sort of stuff does get fed back, so she may not be able to get to all the events, but they do hear about it. But also, say, being mayor as well, you've got a lot of your own events to organise. And are you going to try and beat Ian with his rock festival?
I don't think it's a competition to try and beat him.
Oh, go on, it should be.
Ian in his rock festival, but I have had already fantastic support for me, and Ian's offered to do a rock fest too.
Yep.
So we're hoping that Rockfest 2 will beat Rockfest 1.
But it will be teamwork, which is what counts.
Teamwork, which is what it's all about. And having the support of a previous mayor who's done such a fantastic job as Ian's done, that really helps me on my way.
So lots to look out for. Wolverhampton.gov.uk/mayoral is the centre of all things to do with your 12 months. And there'll be pictures. And will you be getting involved in the Facebook page and all the Twitter stuff as well?
I'm hoping to get involved with that, but I have to say to you, I'm not the world's greatest Twitter and Facebook.
In 12 months' time, you will be.
But I'm already beginning to learn about it. I've done a bit of tweeting and whatever, and I think at the end of 12 months, I'll probably be a bit of a master of it and be able to coach a few people. Well, but I'm looking forward to that, because using new media is important. The mayor attitude shouldn't be something which is high and away from people. It should be very much there. So, again, we've got some good things there in the web page for people to look at.
Yeah, and you will be making money for your charities throughout the year. So who are you supporting in your mayoral year?
Okay, this year I've chosen, Jason, to support three charities which I think hold dear to me. I think it's one of the things which I've learned, and previous mayors will probably tell you, it's extremely difficult to pick your mayoral charities, because there are so many wonderful organisations out there in the city doing such great work. But what I've chosen to support is the MS Therapy Centre, which is at Tetnall. Multiple sclerosis, it's one of the most common neurological conditions amongst young adults. And it affects over 100,000 people in the UK. And what they have at the MS Therapy Centre is that they have an oxygen tank where they can give people pure oxygen to help with suffering. But also, they have over 20 volunteers who help give care to people who suffer from that. And this year, they're celebrating 35 years of doing this great work through the city. And to me, I went down and seen the great work which was going on there, and I thought, this is something which is right in our city, which I'd like to support. My second charity, again, a wonderful charity, 50 years, their anniversary this year. You've probably got, Jason, I've got a little thing about anniversaries, but they are important to remember these things. And that's the Samaritans. And again, they're doing tremendous work. And Wolverhampton branch is what I'm supporting. And again, if somebody's really feeling low, the world's getting to them, they need to have a chat with somebody which can help them get by. There again, great bunch of volunteers ready to help out there. And my third charity, like most mayors, I'm very keen to support our armed forces. And the charity I've chosen is Help for Heroes. And at the end of my mayoral year in 2017, they'll be celebrating 10 years. So you've got a bit of another link in with it. Mm-hmm. And obviously Help for Heroes supports serving personnel, reservists and veterans who've suffered injuries or illnesses as a result of serving the nation. So I think that's a really great thing, and they also help their close family and dependents. So every penny I can raise through the mayoral charities and the help of everyone coming along, that's the three charities which I've chosen to support this year.
So Wolverhampton Samaritans, MS Therapy Centre in Tecknell and Help for Heroes.
And again, like I said to you before, if I can beat previous mayors, that's great. But whatever we can raise, it's really going to really good causes. And again, on our website, through the mayoral website, there are links into our charities as well.
Yep, and you can find out all the details on there and find out about the forthcoming events. Wolverhampton.gov.uk/mayoral or mayor.cityofwolverhamptoncouncil.co.uk is the other way of getting to that website. So you can do that, go along, find out what's happening, support the mayor as he does his best to support you in his time in office. And it's 12 months, and I'm sure it's going to absolutely fly by.
Absolutely, Jason. Every day is an exciting day. Every day is a new day. And it, as I said to you before, and it is a privilege. And I'm really looking forward to meeting the people of Wolverhampton. And every bit of support they can give me, I'll be glad of it.
Well, Barry Findlay, councillor for Wolverhampton and mayor of the city for the next 12 months. Thank you for joining us. Have a great time in the role. And we look forward to finding out more about all the events you have coming up over the next 12 months.
Well, thank you to all who have been listening in, and thanks for all the support.
Let's take another song from Jamie Porter. This is Dreaming here on the Milk Bar.
Chasing your dreams.
That's Jamie Porter with Dreaming. You're listening to The Milk Bar. A couple of weeks ago, Scott Bird from the Grand Theatre told us all about the exciting new names for the thrilling new parts of the theatre post-revamp. He joins me now on the line to tell us about what's going on. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you were looking for nominations before, weren't you?
Yes. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we opened up nominations for our booths and suites, which, as you said, are going to be created in our refurb over the summer. We've had over 500 suggestions for the booths and suites. Some of them were the same suggestions. Some of them were completely different to what we expected. And we've had a really nice turnout. We've got some really nice suggestions.
I can't ask you what your favourite of the final nominations are, but I can ask you what your favourite of the ones that didn't make it to here were. Which was the... Did you get a Scott Bird booth suggested? Did that happen? Was your mum drop a note in?
We didn't, sadly, but we did get lots of Sweetie McSweet faces and Boothie McBooth faces.
I did ask them not to do that, didn't I?
Yes, but they
didn't work, did it?
Maybe they weren't listeners, Jason.
No, this could be it, yeah.
We could get quite a few of those.
There is no one who doesn't listen.
No, but that's true. So we've got some obviously very naughty listeners. So we sat down as staff and we've gone through all of our favourites and we've created a short list. Now, so we've got 9 suggestions for names of the booths, and we've got 9 suggestions for the names of the suites. Now, we've only got 2 suites, and we've got 5 booths, so we do need them whittled down some more, and that's where we turn to the public again for their help.
And the voting closes this Friday, the 27th of May, and all you need to do is go to grandtheatre.co.uk and click on the vote button at the top, and then you can see the suggestions. So let's run through the booths first of all.
Okay, the booth suggestions are C.J. Phipps, so the C.J. Phipps booth, and Charles Phipps was the architect of the theatre 121 years ago it was built. Then Charlie Chaplin is another booth suggestion. He performed at the Grand. Utopia is another one. That was the first ever performance at the Grand Theatre by the Doyley Cart Opera Company, and that was a performance of Utopia Limited. So that's where that comes from. Another suggestion for a booth is Spotlight, which speaks for itself.
I like that one.
Marlena Dietrich is another one, and she's probably the most talked about Hollywood star that has ever been to the Grand Theatre, and the story behind that is that when she performed, she wasn't happy with the state of the stage. The stage manager had spent ages preparing the stage for Marlena's performance, and she had this sort of long white mink coat on. She wasn't happy with the state of the stage, and she told the stage manager to clean it some more, and he said, look, I've cleaned it as much as I possibly can. If you want it cleaner, you're going to have to do it yourself.
Ooh.
So she did.
Really?
She got down on her hands and knees and scrubbed the stage, yeah.
Wow.
But she obviously enjoyed her time, because she still took the time out to sign a photograph, which now hangs on the wall in the stalls bar.
And if you haven't been and had a look at those, do so quickly before the stalls bar disappears.
Yes, they are going to be rehomed. I'm not quite sure yet, but they won't be in the stalls bar after the refurb, but we're keeping them. And then bards?
No, that's after the ice cream.
Well, I think it could be after the ice cream, because we do sell bard's ice cream. But obviously Shakespeare is known as the bard as well, so that's possibly 2 different angles for that one. Gatsby is another one that's come in, which I imagine is going to tie in with the Art Deco feel of the dress circle refurbishment. Then we've got Salberg is another one, and Derek Salberg used to do a repertory theatre at the Grand, so he used to spend sort of 8 or 12 weeks at the Grand doing a repertory season of plays. I think he sent them to the local theatres as well, but that's why he's there. And then the final booth suggestion is Beverly Knight, Wolverhampton's own.
Yeah. That's the way we like it. And on to the suites, because there's a few local names in here as well.
Yes, there is. So the first suggestion for a suite is the Gough Suite. Now, the Goughs also helped with the building of the theatre, so they provided all of the paint and the decoration and stuff like that, so that's why they're there. Then the Utopia Suite, so again, that's similar to the Utopia booth. The original performance.
It'll be interesting to see which one wins on those two, won't it?
Yeah.
You probably can't really have a Utopia Suite and a Utopia booth. That will get confusing.
Yes, it will. So let's hope the public choose differently.
Decisively.
Decisively. We've got the Phipps Suite. So again, we've potentially got a Phipps booth as well. Then we've got the Cabaret Suite, which I'm not sure whether that refers to the musical Cabaret, which we did have a couple of years ago. And then I think we had it about 3 or 4 years previous to that as well. or perhaps just the general sort of sense of cabaret entertainment.
Well, that's just your office.
Well, it is, yeah. we've got the Spotlight Lounge and the Cameo Lounge, which again sort of speak for themselves. We have the Doily Cart Suite, which I did mention earlier. They were the company who performed the very first show at the Grand Theatre in 1894, the 10th of December, that was. Check me with my knowledge.
I know.
Then the Christie Lounge, which is based on, which is, you know, named after Agatha Christie.
There's been several Christie productions over the years, so well worth a vote for that one.
Yes, there's usually one a year at least. And then the final suite name is the Harmonia Garden.
Now, that one I don't know, so tell me more about one.
Well, that refers to the Harmonia Gardens restaurant in New York City that features in the musical Hello, Dolly.
Aha, one of your favourites.
I've never actually seen
Have you not seen that one? Have you found something you haven't seen?
That's probably the only musical that I've never seen. Maybe we need a revival sometime soon.
Yeah, that'll be hopefully gracing the stage. You never know. There could even be a suite named after it when it happens. And all these people who've suggested these are either going to be a winner if they're the only one who suggested each of the names, or if there's more than one, there'll be a draw amongst those that did suggest each of the names when the final votes are totted up and you know what the names of these booths and suites are going to be.
So we're going to have some sort of ceremonial announcement, and then if you did have your suggestion picked, like you say, if you were the only person to suggest it, then you will be coming to our grand gala opening on the 10th of September. And like you say, if more than one person did suggest the name, then we're going to put all the names into a hat and pull out a lucky winner.
And it should be an absolutely fantastic night as well, because it features the one and only Angela Rippon.
It does. Angela Rippon is going to be hosting the evening, and then our chief executive, Adrian Jackson, is going to be conducting and leading a spectacular orchestra. I think it's yet to be decided how it's going to fit everybody onto the stage. But everything's going to be on a grand scale. That's guaranteed.
So that event takes place on the 10th of September. You can actually buy tickets for that now online at grandtheatre.co.uk. But more importantly, go along to the same web address, click on vote, and you can help to choose the names of those booths. And you could be sitting in the CJ Phipps booth on that very night.
Yes. You could indeed.
And there's lots going on as well. A busy week this week because you have Maiden Dagenham from West Bromwich Operatic Society ahead of us.
Yes, West Bromwich Operatic Society are back. Yeah, like you say, it's Maiden Dagenham, which is it's only just really come off the West End. It opened in 2014 in the West End. So, lots of people still haven't had the chance to see it. So if you do want to come and see it, it's a new musical, really.
So worth having a little look. I've been along to rehearsals and they are fantastic. They're going to be even better when they're in costume as well. So that's worth a look and a listen. 01902 429212 is the box office number for that one. Once again, grandtheatre.co.uk. You can go along, buy your tickets and vote as well. Scott, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all. Thank you, Jason.
Time for our final tune from Jamie Porter now. This is Save Me.
Like it never.
Jamie Porter and Save Me. Don't forget, he has his brand new single Sound of the Summer coming out this Friday, the 27th of May. More information, jamieportermusic.com, or you can just search for me in iTunes. That's your lot for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll be back on the Milk Bar with episode 362 next week. So, bye for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.